It is what, 24 minutes to 10 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You're listening to 702. Now, questions around the Reserve Bank's independence again surfaced after the ANC, in its recent election manifesto, called for the bank to adopt a more flexible monetary policy regime, taking into account other objectives such as employment creation and economic growth. The party previously also called for the bank to be fully nationalized by doing away with its private shareholders. Talks of nationalization of the bank has been wildly criticized by business leaders, but often confused with the mandate of the bank, which is, of course, two totally different issues. Well, President Cyril Ramaphosa, together with Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan, responded to questions on this matter during a media briefing in Davos, where the president and key members of the cabinet and Team South Africa were on a mission to attract investment. Well, to unpack this issue, I am joined on the line by economist Mr. Duma Qubule. Duma, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Before we start, I just want us to take a listen to the president on the issue of the independence of the bank.
The issue of the independence of the bank, as Minister Gordhan said, is an important one, and we ascribe a great deal of importance to the standing and the independence of the bank, and we do not seek to interfere with its independence. The constitution of our country is very clear on how independent the bank should be, and we respect that. But we also respect the fact that as the central bank gets on with its task on monetary policy, it has to do so in consultation and discussion with the Minister of Finance. And that relationship is a well-balanced relationship that continues and has never sought to interfere with the independence of the bank. And that is how we are committed to moving forward with this.
That is, of course, President Cyril Ramaphosa explaining the matter. Duma, you have been very critical of the way in which this entire debate has been handled because issues have been conflated. We have OECD countries that all own their reserve banks, and their mandates are independent and they operate independently. What is the big issue here?
Okay, so to start, the ANC in 2017 at its conference said they will nationalize the central bank.
Yeah.
That's one thing. Now, there was an interview on SABC with the governor of the Reserve Bank, and he pointed out that the Bundesbank in Germany is fully nationalized, but it is fiercely independent. Now, the majority of the central banks in the world are nationalized and independent. And I should point out that there are only 7 central banks in the world that are not nationalized. So when the ANC says this is an anomaly, this is what they're referring to. So I don't think people... Now, the third thing is the mandate of the Reserve Banks. So now, the mandate has got nothing to do with nationalization or independence. Yeah. So now, what I listened to the interview with the governor, and I was actually a bit worried because the mandate is something that the political principles can decide.
Absolutely.
So when you say, so recently we had a change of government in New Zealand, and the Labour government decided they want to change the mandate. So it is the politicians in any country can change the mandate as they want. There are debates in the U.S. about the mandate of the... In the U.S., they have a dual mandate for employment and growth as well. So, so I was just a bit worried with the Reserve Bank governor overreaching and start commenting on his view on the mandate. But now, the Reserve Bank has got a specific type of independence. It's got what is called operational independence.
Yes.
What that means is that they are free to choose whatever monetary policy tools they want to use to achieve their objectives of inflation control and so on. Yeah.
But of course,
they don't have policy independence.
I was just going to say, they don't operate in a policy vacuum. There is a government of the day. Let's listen quickly to the Minister for Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan, speaking also on the independence of the bank.
The South African Reserve Bank has its mandate clearly defined in the Constitution and its independence as well. So the first thing we want to confirm is that as far as government is concerned, and many of the stakeholders, if not all in South Africa, the operational independence of the Reserve Bank is sacrosanct. Nobody will interfere with that. The second, in respect of the mandate, the Constitution makes it clear that its mandate is price stability in the interest of balanced growth. But equally importantly, when the Great Recession affected South Africa in 2009, in 2010, a letter was sent from the Finance Ministry to the Reserve Bank asking it to be mindful of exogenous factors with particular reference to growth and employment issues as well. So it takes that into account, as the governor has been repeatedly saying in its various considerations. So as far as we're concerned, no interference in the operational independence of the South African Reserve Bank or any doubt about that as well.
Now, there, Pravin Gordhan Duma explains precisely what you've just said. Operationally, they are independent, but in terms of policy considerations, they have to have some kind of relationship with the political decision makers. He even referred to an instance where the finance minister had communicated with the governor to take certain factors into consideration. That is effectively what one is talking about, how this relationship should work, isn't it?
Yes, and then so I think that's a very good example that Mr. Gordhan raises.
Yeah.
Now, what you will remember is that before the global financial crisis of 2008, the Reserve Bank increased interest rates by 500 basis points. Many of us argued at the time that that was overkill because they continued to increase interest rates after the start of the global crisis in June 2007, while other countries throughout the world were cutting interest rates. So what happened is that the Minister of Finance, Mr. Pravin Gordhan himself, sent a letter to the Reserve Bank, an instruction that please take into account growth. And it was, nobody said he was interfering because it is his right to decide on policy issues. We are having a global financial crisis. Please take into account growth. And that is what they did. And Jill Marcus, after she came in December 2008, she actually decreased interest rates by 700 basis points until February 2012. And we had a recovery from the global financial crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm arguing in this current situation, where we are in the worst post-apartheid economic crisis, is that yet again, we need the Reserve Bank under the Sichakanyaj to look into the growth issue and the issue of employment instead of obsessively focusing on the issue of inflation, which I believe he has done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Mr. Tito Mboweni, the current finance minister, has also commented on this on his Facebook page. I'm sure you've seen his comments.
Yes, I've seen that.
And he's had a slightly different approach to Pravin and Miss Jill Marcus, where there was an understanding that the operational independence is sacrosanct, but government can actually do a kind of a missive, if you like, to the Reserve Bank to take certain things into consideration because there's a policy environment. Why would that not be the case now? Why would someone like Mr. Mboweni think that it's not within his remit to actually be speaking with Letsetse Ganyago?
I'm a bit confused. The part that I did see was where he was talking. I actually don't know. He can issue the instruction. The instruction was issued in 2010. I believe it's time for a similar instruction. I actually believe it's time perhaps to suspend this inflation target while we focus on growth, and we can come back to that later. Inflation control,
Okay, so we've established that, one, this is a non-debate because we've actually had practice where the operational independence of the bank remained intact. We've established
and
that...
And there's no debate currently amongst any political party about tampering with the operational
precisely
of the bank.
Exactly,
it's not on the table, so I don't know why it has to be restated over and over again. Some of us would argue that they need to be less operationally independent of the bank. That is not even on the table.
Absolutely. And then of course there are examples of where government actually made known what it would like to be considered, and the Reserve Bank considered it obviously on the merits, and which brings us to the question of the toolkit of the Reserve Bank governor. Now, you've argued very strongly that there's more than one instrument that can be used to actually generate growth. Give us examples, Mr. Qubule, about other countries of similar scale in terms of economies where they've done different things than Mr. Kaniago to get to more positive outcomes for people who feel the squeeze, you know, in a very tight economic environment.
Okay, so recently I was in China, and many of the Asian countries have got a different way of running their countries and their central banks. So the countries have got multiple policy tools and multiple objectives. Mm. So let's start with the objectives. The objectives can include growth of the economy, employment, the exchange rate. You've seen China manipulating its exchange rate, and Trump got very angry about this. And they can also direct credit to specific sectors of the economy. So now, so the tools they use is interest rates. Then they've got something called the reserve requirements, which mm-hmm. they up and down to increase liquidity in the system. And they've got credit quotas for banks. They instruct banks that you lend so much for low-cost housing, gap housing, for small business enterprises. And they also get involved in financing the government budget. And they also get involved in, for example, when I was in China recently, what they did is that they created a facility for banks to lend to small business.
Yes.
They involved in production decisions on the economy. Now, let's take South Africa, for example. Well, I've argued that there's no reason, let's say we want for the gap housing market.
Yes.
The central bank can say, we will give the money to the banks at a window of about 3%, and then you will unend it to gap housing projects, which we approve, of 6%. There is nothing wrong with that. It happens in all the Asian countries. So what I'm saying is that we must expand the toolkit that the Reserve Bank uses, and we can't focus on one policy tool, which is the interest rate, and one policy target, which is the inflation rate. And the last thing I want to say is that so in China and all these countries, interest rates, by the way, after the global financial crisis, they were used as a last instrument.
Yes.
They do not start with interest rates.
Essentially what you're saying, Duma, is that there is empirical data that points to the usefulness of other instruments besides inflation targeting that will actually stimulate growth, that will talk to the specificities of a particular economy, like in a case like South Africa, developing small business, because it's difficult for them to get financing from commercial banks. And of course, also issues like the gap market, where people earn too much to get an RDP house, but too little to actually afford or qualify for a bond. And that's, of course, a massive area. Why do you think, given that Mr. Gordon and the president explained so succinctly how the thing should work, there is resistance from someone like Lesetša to take those things into consideration when his predecessor, Ms. Marcus, for example, didn't?
That's what I can't understand, because I was listening to that interview before I talked to you, and he said, we will stand up and fight against this change of mandate. But I say he must keep quiet. It's not his business what the mandate is. I think that the political party of the day has a right to change the mandate when they feel like doing it here.
All right. Thank you very much, Duma, for clarifying those issues. I think it's really important that we break it down the way we've done here, and also realize that we're involved in a straw argument. We actually need to be looking at other economies, what they are doing, who are in similar positions, and if there are tools other than inflation targeting that actually gets us to growth. That was economist Duma Qubule. Thank you so very much for talking to us.